break.
Glad to hear you. You made some progress with your bottle workers, didn't you?
Got it cleaned up. Yep.
Oh, that's what you've done. Wonderful job.
No,
that's C.R. Smith came
that's
in.
Jim Reynolds again.
Have you caught him sleeping with a woman or something? He came in yesterday and said he had spent 34 years in private life. He never enjoyed anything more than this. And the thing he'd enjoyed most was watching you, who he considered to be one of the ablest men he'd ever met and the greatest negotiator he'd ever seen around the table, and he'd been negotiating 34 years. So I said, if you're in here trying to hire him for American Airlines, get out of here. And he said, no, hell no, I want him right where he is. But I wanted to tell you that. And I said, well, that's the first time I ever heard Secretary of Commerce say that about Secretary of Labor. Maybe we're glad we didn't abolish Secretary of Commerce.
But a great fellow.
I thought you all know it. He was just talking about some of these negotiations that had happened. And, I thanked him. And he didn't want to, he's a little bit worried about, said they weren't paying much attention to where they were pouring money out of EDA. He thought we ought to make them appreciate a little more and tighten it a little. And I said, well, you run it the way you want to. And that's your organization. And he talked about his export program and about the people, these investments abroad.
Oh.
He's getting a man, Chase National, from David Rockefeller, to bring back from abroad to run it. That was about it. I called you. Dick Daly called me this morning and said that we had a good chance now to try to pull together and work together, that we hadn't been doing it, that we had been crisscrossing around, and that he was helping the mayor of Cleveland try to get on a sound basis, that they had some of these extra director outfits outside that they really didn't have much experience, much training in city problems. No one said this man was new and hadn't had much administrative experience, but he wanted him to make good. And the best tribute could be to the Democratic president and to the Democratic cabinet and administration would be for these fellows to make good. Said we've got lots of bureaucracy in. Said here in Chicago, I have trouble. I got stuff that stays in HUD for 8 and 10 months. And I got stuff with Shriver and people going around and running down. I don't know anything about it. I have to take it. But said it'd be a wonderful thing. I'm helping them with the police department. I'm helping them with the fire department. Our experts are going in there. Now, he said that he had the feeling that if we would give them a little special attention, these two Negroes particularly, we could be a lot of help to them. And he was doing it. He just wanted to make that suggestion to make them make good. Reconstruction period, they brought in Negro governors and Negro senators. First thing he did is pull off the shoes in the Senate chamber. And pretty soon they ruined themselves where they never got back, never got another lick at it for 100 years. If we could make these guys really blossom and bloom and have a good thing. I told him that you were the most experienced, and I was going to ask you to keep out of the newspapers, just do it very quietly. Joe Califano's not here. We need somebody to coordinate. Charlie Murphy's gone, so I don't know who I'd get, but I want to get somebody over here, maybe Larry Levinson. They don't resent him, I guess, and he's young and new. But call you and maybe Larry Temple. He's new on my staff. Just for the purpose of coordinating, call you and call Harding, who's going to be running OEO and who ought to take a little lead from you until we select a new man. I want to talk to you about who we select. Wilbur Cohen, who you ought to be able to work closely with, and maybe Bob Weaver. I don't know whether we ought to get Bob or not. I don't know what programs he's got, but we might just call them in and say, now let's look at Cleveland, Ohio, and let's look at Gary, Indiana, and let's look at Chicago, and let's coordinate the attack we're going to make there this summer. We want these Negro mayors to do good, and let's just see if they have a little task force, see what they've got, what it is we can do, how we can feed this thing in. Now, Zix Wick tells me we're going to have more jobs as a result of some things you all have done over there, reallocation this summer, than we had last year. At least as many. It's not going to be as bad as he thought. And they think that this Henry Ford thing may be producing a few results and getting going. So I wanted, before I started passing this around, and I've got so many problems, I can't get back to it for a month, and I can't run it anyway, see what you thought of the idea, or if you thought of any better thing that we could do. The boy in Cleveland is strong for us and wants to help. He was on TV and tried to help. The boy in Gary is not quite so solid. The Democratic organization there wasn't too strong. Labor wasn't strong for him. I believe that is it. The steel workers. So we need a little contact there with him. Bobby's people are playing with him. They haven't made any progress, but they're working at him, and they don't know. The governor's going to run for us, and he's going to go all the way out. And thanks to
which governor?
Brannigan.
Yeah.
And they all selected him, everybody. Matt Welch, who's opposed him.
Yeah.
Everybody told me he's the most popular man in the state. The newspapers are going to be supporting us. The congressmen generally are going to be for us. So we think we got a reasonably good, position there. But I thought we might just quietly look at Chicago, look at Gary, look at Cleveland, and if we could have this little task force on our cities, it might go into where we could do it city by city a little later, and see what each one's doing and what they could do and see what their problems were, and so on and so forth. Then it might get you to just drift out quietly to Daly and say to him, you've got problems coming up for the convention in Chicago summer. Now, here's what we're going to do to help you, and what other suggestions have you got?
Okay, just let me be clear. I'm not clear whether, Mr. President, whether you're suggesting that I take that responsibility or whether I work with Larry Levinson or Temple or whoever it is on
well,
it.
Well, I would just have them pull them together. I just think it's a little problem. They tell me that when the Secretary of Commerce called up the Secretary of Treasury and them, that we always have a little problem. At least the secretaries tell me that. They frequently call and ask me to say, get somebody to pull them together in the White House, because if some other cabinet member does it, they come around to us and say, why is he rate more than I do?
I couldn't disagree with that advice more. I'm perfectly willing to do it either way. As far as I'm concerned, if you tell Bert Harding or Wilbur Cohen or anybody to do it, my cooperation is going to be 100%.
I know.
I'm frank to say that I think we lose a lot of time and effectiveness sometime when we do it in that other pattern. And on Carl Stokes, I've been about living with Walter Washington and almost Carl Stokes.
Well, now that's good. Tell me about it. Maybe you know more about it than I do about Stokes. Are we doing everything we can? We don't need to do it.
No, we aren't. We can.
Daly just happened to call me this morning to congratulate me on the shift of Westmoreland and trying to make some new pitches, and he was very pleased about it. Now he said if I were you, I'd get some of these groups. You've got a new poverty man now. And you've got a new HEW man now. And I would try to make these real model cities. And I would start with I'm helping them. He said, they in here and want my police department. I'm giving it to them. They want my fire department. I'm showing them how to organize them. And I'm trying to show them how we are going out and meeting this recreation problem. Now, I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call my people together and try to give them help, too. And I called Joe Califano, wasn't here. He would normally handle it. He's in Puerto Rico or something. And I said to Larry Temple, you tell him to take Califano's office. There's nobody in there. And get these folks over there. And I'll walk in, spend 5 minutes with them, and say, here, I wish you fellas would look at all the goodies you got. Put them together here. And Wirtz is a senior man. We got a new man in poverty, a new man in HEW. And I hadn't decided whether they ought to have Bob Weaver or not. I guess we ought to. I don't know.
Yes, in my judgment.
Now, we talk about model cities. Let's get in here and have these folks, and then some of you call them up and come down here. We're going to work with you on this, and let's see if we can move them before other people move them. And then I said, well, I'll call Wirtz first and see what he thinks about it.
I'm all for doing it. Frank, I just have to be frank with you. The idea of doing it... I'll do it either way, and you know that. But this bringing everything into one of those staff offices there, I don't think it's necessary, Mr. President. They've got an awful lot to do anyway.
Well, there's nobody there to do it today except
That's
he just called you. But I'll tell you, there are a lot of cabinet officers do. They don't like for another cabinet officer to tell them what to do. You have no idea. I've had four or five that I can think of right now. And when McNamara asked them to come over and meet with them.
Well, I think everybody realizes, too, it's a year to strip for action and things of this kind ought to be done. And frankly, Mr. President, I think some of us have been closer to it than to the politics of it and to the field operations and the city's end of it than some of those others. But
No question what you've been closer to it than any of them. But I want somebody to get that, and you can give it to just kind of chair it or lead it. You can give that to Harding, who is new in this thing, and to Wilbur, who is just taking the oath, you see, hadn't even been confirmed.
Right.
And we can start setting it up on that basis, and I'd just kind of like to do it like you and CR have worked out your relationship. And if you don't mind, I'm going to have somebody call them and see what time of day. And if they can, we'll come and I'll spend 5 or 10 minutes in the cabinet room with you, and then I'll walk out and let you all work it out.
You want to do it today?
Is that if you could.
Sure, that's fine with me. Okay. Give you time for a couple of just short ones.
Yes,
they're very practical questions. One, I haven't known whether to try to get to young Stevenson out there in Illinois and to see what can be done by way of...
I would do anything in the world I could with him. All I've done is be for him, and I ask him to bring him in here at the White House. I ask him, nobody's ever talked to me about his running. He hasn't talked to me. Daley hasn't talked to me. I haven't said one word. I'm told by Rostentowski, told Barefoot Sanders or somebody, I've forgotten one of the staff men, I read it, that the story was that he was not for the president. And that's why they denied him the nomination, that had nothing to do with it, that what made him so angry was that and it didn't make Daley angry. Daley tried to be helpful, but said that he came in there and he did not want to be the senator, he wanted to be the governor, and some of his advisors, I don't know Henry Wilson, I don't know who all talked to him, but some of them had told him the way to do it was to tell them that he didn't believe fully on everything in Vietnam. That he was for the president, and that he didn't say he was against him, but he just wanted to have some reservations, and said then they would think, well, we don't want to send a man down to Washington with that, so we make him governor. Now, they say that was the reasoning that he had. So when he came in, most of these old backroom politicians were just violent. He said that the committee needs me more than I need it, and I don't have to have it. And said they just got violent as hell. Said Daley adjourned it immediately, spent the evening trying to talk to them, and they said, we don't want anything like that. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not.
I think I know all the pieces of the story. And I think there's a very practical question as to whether
it's a good idea as far as we're concerned, because this boy is going to be president or going to be governor or going to be something. He's for the Democrats. He's for what we stand for. He's for what we believe in. We oughtn't to let 1 minute go by thinking we're not for him. Now, if he doesn't agree with me on some appointment or doesn't agree with me on the neighborhood youth corps, he wouldn't be a Democrat. I expect him to. I don't want any more trouble than I have to have. I don't want him to be a Birchite. I don't think he's likely to be that. But I sure as hell do want him on our side. And I want to do. I just appointed he and Bronson LaFollette both to be the young Democrat committee to put them up for the whole nation to look at. And those are the only two I picked. Now, he didn't consult me about running for anything. I didn't consult him. I've had a rule of staying out of these things. I never pick anybody to run for anything. LaFollette didn't consult me. Shriver did consult me. He came in and said he would like to be governor. I said, he said, would you please talk to Daley for me? And I said, no, I will not. Daley considered an insult. The others out there considered an insult. And I thought Stevenson would consider an insult. I didn't know what he wanted, but just from what the papers indicate, I thought that. I said, now, I'm not going to any state. I wouldn't do it. And John Connally in Texas, he's leaving. We got a Donnybrook, 7-8 running, just fighting each other to beat hell. And I wouldn't take any position on it. George Meany called me up, said, who do you want us supporting in Texas? I said, well, George, if I could just name my man, that'd be final. I could find you one. But I can't do it, and you better follow your leadership. That's all it can do. So Shriver said, well, I think you'd just tell him and I'd be available. I said, no, that would be misconstrued. So I didn't do that. He said, all right, I understand. And he said, well, can I be ambassador if I don't make it? I said, yes, you can be ambassador.